Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. What, bud?
Yeah, okay, yeah. Just got a call from a listener who said that it's fading in and out. Fading in and out.
Well, we also got another call from a guy. Well, hold on for a minute, okay?
No, we got another call from a guy that said there's echoing.
Yeah, hold on for just a minute, okay? Every time I go on the air and I say something along the lines of, gee, we had a technical problem the other night that caused this and that, then we got a whole bunch of people calling and saying, oh, yeah, and there's something else wrong.
What, you see the guy's imagining it?
That's exactly what I'm saying. They're imagining it. There's nothing wrong with the audio. Now, I was talking to Nikki a moment ago. She heard something. She's part of the crew. She's on the technical side of things, so I'm going to listen to what she's saying. It's not that I don't respect our listeners. It's that I just notice this happens. Anytime you say, it's kind of like seeing a UFO. Then everybody sees one, right? Excuse me.
Are you all right? Boy, you suddenly got a look on your face like you were
Like he was what?
The last time I saw that look, it was on my sister's face.
Yeah?
I'm not going to say.
You're going to talk about how she's gagging on something.
Is that any of your business, you piece of...
Hey, watch it. Well, you brought it up.
You turned a little ashen gray the same way Grace did.
What were you guys doing that you saw your sister gagging on something?
You know what, Phil? Someday, if you're a good boy, I'll tell you. It was before I got married. I'll give you two words. Mexico.
That is,
Just Mexico.
That's not two words.
I was going to say, that's not two words.
Mexico.
Okay, maybe the way they pronounce it in the Gray household.
There you go.
Give you two words, Mexico. It's the Phil Henry Show. Welcome back. No, we're having a jolly old time here. But we did have some, you know, we had TriCaster issues and some technical issues that have been ironed out. I don't know. The guy says he hears an echo. Is he the only guy?
Yeah, so far he's the only guy, but I'm pretty sure... He said, I'm hearing an echo, and I'm also hearing kind of a noise bouncing back and forth. And I said, now, you're the only one called in so far. He said, well, can I hang on the line to wait and see how many other people call in? I said, yeah.
Is that him hanging on there?
Yeah.
And what are you talking about, bud?
I'm talking to one guy. He said he hears not an echo, but he's hearing it's fading in and out. It's going like this. It's going to go like, yeah, and I'm talking about it. And then it gets loud, and Mr. Henry is talking really loud. See?
What are you talking about, bud?
I'm talking about it fading in and out.
What's that guy doing on hold?
Well, I coordinated with Robert. We said, let's put him on hold and see if other people call in.
You coordinated with Robert?
Yeah. So we'll see if other people calls in.
Anybody else called in?
Not yet, but I'm sure that they will.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure they will, too, as we've just put this on the air. You know, with the greatest of respect to the human animal... And to all of us together on this spaceship Earth, there's a thing called... What are you looking at, General?
Well, you're getting all philosophical. That spaceship Earth thing, that made me...
I didn't say spaceship burp.
Well, it sounded like spaceship Earp or something.
What are you talking about? Spaceship Earp? That's like where the Earp family lives, right?
Yeah, I would think so.
Spaceship Earth. F. Buckminster Fuller. Do you know who he is?
I wouldn't know. What is that? It sounds like a place that we attacked. It sounds like something we bombed in Vietnam.
He said we're all travelers on this spaceship Earth. So to that end, we do tend to be a little monkey see, monkey do. If someone says something, then we all seem to think we've seen or heard the same thing. If someone says they see a UFO, then we all, you know...
Yeah, it's called mass hysterical or something, or everybody gets hysterical, whatever.
No, it's mass hysteria. Mass hysteria. Do you remember the song by Def Leppard called I Get Hysteria? Do-do-do-do. You know that song?
I don't know it.
I'm not familiar.
Yeah, I know it.
Well, oh, great. The oldest guy in the room. Yeah, I know it. Jesus.
Well, it's Def Leppard. It's 80s.
All right, but you remember the song?
Yeah.
Okay.
What about it?
Well, that's what they were singing about. Hysteria, when you're near, do-do-do. You don't remember?
I do remember, Margaret. It's got nothing to do with what we're talking about.
Well, I think different. I think it has a lot to do with what we're talking about. Def Leppard was saying something. I don't know what it was, but they were saying something to me. I felt that they were talking to me.
Margaret, maybe you ought to lay down.
You know, I don't need to lay down, old man.
Hey, take it easy. All right, so I promised that...
You wouldn't say take it easy anymore.
Yeah, you just did.
Well, You know, I'm doing the best that I can with what the good Lord gave me. UN Special Envoy to Crimea, Robert Seri, said Wednesday he cut short a mission to the disputed region after being threatened by unidentified pro-Russian gunmen and heckled by protesters. Seri, who'd been sent to the tense Black Sea Peninsula by UN Chief Ban Ki-moon.
Let me see that. Ban Ki-moon? That's the dopiest sounding name in the world.
Well, that's his name. Boy, look at you all.
Yeah, pretty judgmental, Margaret.
Well, I think if you're going to have a UN chief...
Yeah, let's get a guy named Bob Jones or something like that.
No, not some redneck.
Bob Jones is redneck. Okay. Was confronted by armed men after visiting the Ukrainian naval headquarters in Crimea's capital, Zimferopol.
Is that some kind of a joke?
No, that's the name of the... Crimea's capital is Zimferopol. I thought it was Sevastopol, but anyway... prevented from returning to his vehicle, Seri said the men who refused to identify themselves said they have received orders to bring me immediately to the airport, although they declined to say from whom. They said it was in my own safety. I refused, and a standoff ensued, he added, saying at one point his driver was pulled from the car. Seri sought refuge in a local cafe with his assistant to phone the mission. Then after a tense two-hour standoff, he was driven to the airport and boarded the first flight out of the region to Istanbul. Man, things over there are whacked out.
You know, I read something that when the Russians made some incursion into Georgia, I think it was, not the state of Georgia, Bud. This is a different...
Yeah, I heard about the Georgia that's over there.
Yes, there's a Georgia that's over there.
Yeah. And anyway, they interviewed a couple of the soldiers, and these guys stunk of vodka as they're going down the road. They were lagging behind their unit. They were not in formation. They'd broken ranks. They're eating, they're into their rations as they go down the road like some stumble bum off of a flat car. And then when they talk to these two jackballs, this guy in his broken Russian, he's, talking all this tough, and he stinks of vodka. I mean, I would have had that guy standing tall before the man.
Well, I mean, General, they need a little discipline over there.
You better believe that. I would never put up with that. Any kind of stench coming from the ranks, and believe me, I've been around fighting men my whole life, and the stink that comes off of them, well, as I've always said to them, soldiers are supposed to stink. That's what they're there for. What, are you laughing at our fighting men?
No, I'm not. The soldiers are supposed to stink.
Aren't you really saying soldiers are supposed to be dirty and tired?
Soldiers are dirty, tired, and they stink like an open sewer. That's what a soldier is for. And to any fighting man listening, that's your job as a fighting man in the United States military. You got to take it, and you have to take it with a smile on your face.
Okay, General, we get it. And God knows there are probably militaries around the world that would benefit from your point of view.
Well, I don't want to see the U.S. military become a laughingstock just because some Rusky has decided it's better that he sits down and sucks down another tumbler of vodka, has himself a sausage sandwich, and watches as the whole damn thing goes up in flames. Those guys over there are sitting on their lunch buckets, watching their country burn down around them, and they're belching. Oh, man.
Take it easy. I mean, I don't think there's going to be a war. Is that what you're afraid of?
Right now, I want you to stop with the take it easy. No one tells me, okay, Galen Shaw, to take it easy.
General, what's the problem?
There's no war, okay?
Yeah, that's what you say.
There's no war. Come on. Look, you've been through this, I've been through, we've all been through this. The Russians, they move in, and America, of course, threatens, and America does what every other country does. We threaten, we go to the UN and we threaten, we go to the UN and we threaten, and sometimes it gets resolved and sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes, I remember the whole Czechoslovakia thing. That young lady, that Liz Wall, said that her grandparents escaped Hungary. That was 1956. My landlord, when I rented a place in Sierra Madre, which is a little town...
That's where the treasure of Sierra Madre.
No, it ain't the treasure of Sierra Madre. It's a different Sierra Madre. It's a little town north of Pasadena. And my landlord and landlady were Hungarian refugees. They came from Hungary in 56. They walked out of that country during that whole Russian invasion. And they wound up in a refugee camp. They went to Canada. Now, both of these people were school teachers in Hungary. They were school teachers. But when they got to Canada, their school teaching credentials, that didn't help them at all, man, because they had all the school teachers they needed in Canada. And so he became a house painter, and she became, you know, a mom. She worked whatever job she could work. And they told me there were days that she had the kids in the car. The children would sit in the car all day while she and her husband were off doing, you know, working. I mean, the kids were within eyesight of the mom.
Well, what was she doing?
Sounds like, was she working in a dairy or someplace, you know, with a milk bucket or something? That sounds like the kind of a job.
I don't know. Why would a milk bucket?
Well, you could just, I don't know why it is, but I see the Hungarian refugee with a milking stool. It seems noble.
Well, okay, General, I don't know. But when I finally met these two folks, they were in their 50s. They owned two homes. They had a vacation home up at Clear Lake, California. They had this rental property in which I lived in one of the units. They lived in the other, and they had, like, they were beautiful little units in Sierra Madre, which if anybody's ever been there, it's a gorgeous town. They owned another property up in Northern California, and they were doing very, very well. And they'd raised two children. Their daughter was like my age, and she was getting ready to, she was going back to school, and they had grandkids, and they were doing great. And he was still painting houses.
He's still a painter?
Yeah, he became a house painter. I should have told you that, up in Canada. And he was still a house painter. By this point, she was just a stay-at-home mom. She was a housewife. But this guy was a riot.
Is this the man who kept saying, "We wash it down"? Was that the guy?
Yeah, his name was Joe. And Joe would say, "Hey, Phil, let's wash it down." He had a bottle of this Hungarian wine, Tokay. You ever,
Oh, gee, are you putting me on? That stuff's strictly from a boxcar.
Well, I'll tell you, the real Hungarian Tokay. And then he had this potato whiskey. You wouldn't believe the stuff. And we would do these shots of this, or potato vodka. We'd do shots of this stuff, and I'd be half in a bag, man. I'd get home from work, he'd say, "Hey, Phil, come on over." So before I even get into my own house, I'm crap-faced. Oh, we got to take a break.
Well, I think when you start getting into your drinking stories for...
Excuse me. We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com on this here Wednesday night. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. You can listen live and mobile on our website, philhendryshow.com. You can listen live and mobile at TuneIn as well. And we're very happy to be with you. And we also each and every day post at iTunes, elsewhere, a Sideshow Network, and SoundCloud a highlight of one of our recent shows. And we have a classic podcast for our subscribers. If you're a subscriber to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, you have access to thousands and thousands and thousands of full shows, thousands of hours of full shows, I should say, going back over 15 years. And you also have access to our daily classic podcast. Each and every day we draw a 30-minute clip from our archives going back to 2005, 2001, 1999, different and sundry weird-ass things. What do we have last night, bud?
Yeah, on Don Parsley, this guy that said that his kid got shot.
Oh, that lying sack of...
Well, this guy Parsley, I remember him.
Yeah, Don Parsley was a guy that would call up, and he would say, "I lost my son." He would take advantage of any situation where people were being charitable. If it was 9/11, if there'd been a tornado, if there'd been a hurricane, and if there'd been a plane crash, he would call up and claim that he had somehow been victimized. But he never could keep his story straight. And today's podcast, his son died. No, wait a minute, his son didn't die, his son got shot. No, wait a minute, his son was shot and then he died. No, wait a minute, it was just, you know... So,
what did you do with this man?
Well, he wanted money, and we would try to get money for him, and it would turn out, no, it wasn't enough. Like,
is this the guy that I heard? Robert, you pointed it out.
Now, this guy, he would come on a show, and he'd say, "Yeah, I could really use some money to help my family, because we're hungry, I haven't eaten." And a guy would call up and say, "Okay, I got 20 bucks. And he'd say, "Well, that's not enough, I need more."
Yeah, he turned down the donation.
Yeah, he turned down the donation. And a man said, "All right, I got $100. He says, "Well, if that's the way you're going to be, then I might as well just hang the phone up now because you got a lot of cheap listeners."
Didn't say that.
Yeah, he did.
He did. So anyway, that's our classic podcast for today, is the point that I'm trying to make on the Phil Hendry Show. Check it out. And You also get a access to all the other miscellaneous media events that we've been a part of, including a couple of television pilots that we produced, and different media events that we were a part of, panels. The whole Aspen panel is on there, which is not exactly my best moment, I don't think.
Oh, this is where you got taken to task by Drew Carey.
Well, I don't know if I got taken to task. Greg Proops.
What was that? I'm sorry.
Greg Proops, you know him? He's a very funny guy, and he hosted a show on TLC, I think it was a game show.
Greg Proops, is he the one with the hair? Oh, he's the one with the hair.
Yeah, he's got a kind of a wild hairdo. He's a very smart guy, and I had him on one side. I had Stephen Colbert on another. I had Drew Carey down the line. I had Gary Trudeau down the line. There was only one guy on that entire panel that represented a conservative point of view, which was Mike Murphy, who is a media guy at one time, I think, for one of the guys, Pete Wilson. But Mike Murphy also produces, and he was a producer for Dennis Miller. And I'm not saying that I was the arch conservative, but I wasn't a full-on Bush hater. And these guys were just to a man, and I got my ass kicked, you know.
Well, you're sitting in Aspen, Colorado, Phil. One of these days you're going to learn. You don't go walking into the lion's den wearing London Broil aftershave lotion.
Oh, God.
That's exactly. Give me five.
Yeah.
Oh, ain't you guys are just, oh, you're down with it. So I was wearing London Broil aftershave.
Phil, you don't walk into the lion's den. Before you walk in, you coat yourself in the grease and juice of prime rib. You gotta be kidding. Is that what you did?
That's exactly what he did, General, although my London Broil analogy was far funnier.
No, it isn't. I resent the prime rib is what I'm going with.
Yeah, I think you're the funnier.
Thank you very much, Robert.
Okay, isn't that great? Prime rib. So I walked in, I was dumb, is what you're saying.
Yes, you're dumb. What are you doing going mano a mano with those people? Those are super brains. You, Phil, are a good working man's humorist. You get in, you work the land, you work the ground. At the end of the day, you put your hands on your hips and you look out on the comedy field and you see if any crops have been yielding or yielded, or if you're you know.
Yeah, I like that analogy, Phil. You're like the comedy farmer. You know,
the comedy farmer.
That's a pretty good name for a show.
You know, now that I think about it.
Yeah, what about that? I'm sorry.
The Comedy Farmer. Hi, I'm Phil Hendry. Hi, I'm Phil Hendry. I'm the Comedy Farmer.
Well, what's so funny about that?
I don't know. All right, so what's the show about?
Well, we can sit here and spitball it a little bit.
What do you mean, spitball?
I mean, go through with the creative process. General, you've never been through the creative process, so just sit and watch. What do you guys think to... First of all, I want the credits to read, created by Margaret Gray.
All right, never mind the Comedy Farmer.
That, I know what it is. You come on, hi, I'm Phil Hendry, and I'm a comedy farmer. And tonight, we're going to go into the silo to see what laughs there are.
Yeah. We're going to go into the silo. You mean we're storing laughs?
Yeah, you're storing laughs, and we're going into the silo, too, to find out.
Nah, that sucks. The Comedy Farmer, I would have to be, they've already had the Comedy Farmer.
I was going to say, you know what they had, the Comedy Farmer? A little thing called Hee-Haw. Oh.
No.
Yeah, you're burned. You're burned.
Yeah, I think he smoked him, Ms. Gray.
He didn't smoke. And watch how you say he smoked me.
It would be more like she smoked me, you know.
You are a filthy animal, you know that?
Well, I'm trying to be accurate.
No, can we not talk about someone smoking the other pro? Oh, God, that is just funky.
What about what he just said?
What?
He says that the Comedy Farmer bit's been done with Hee-Haw.
I think he's right. That was the Comedy Farmer. You know, they're laughing and they're in a cornfield.
No, I don't think so. That's just a bunch of people laughing in a cornfield. They can call it the Comedy Farmer.
Well, whatever Hee-Haw is about, Hee-Haw was what? Isn't that a donkey or something?
Yeah, I think that'd be like a donkey.
All right, so the donkey's laughing. So if a donkey's laughing, where's the donkey?
On a farm.
Okay, so the donkey's laughing on a farm. Well, why would a donkey be laughing on a farm unless the farmer is the Comedy Farmer?
Well, that's a good point.
Thank you. And,
Wait a minute. Run that by me again.
No, I'm not going to run it by anybody again. So, you were saying...
Yeah, you're a very workmanlike comic, Phil. Now, you're in the room with some heavy brains, some big brains, Drew Carey, Gary Trudeau. Gary Trudeau is one of the preeminent satirists of our time, one of the great American satirists of our time. And if I'm saying it overly dramatic, I'm doing it on purpose.
Yeah, I know, and you know what drives me nuts.
What does?
One of the great satirists of our time, man.
I don't shake my head, Phil, like I'm possessed, like whatever was in Linda Blair decided to come out of her and go ahead and dive into me for a taste. You know what? I'm going to go get something to eat. I'm going to get something to eat, smoke, and drink. Excuse me.
Should you put the lid down, I think?
Yeah, the lid better be down.
Oh, man. Everything with her. All right, we're going to be back on the Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. I got a couple of more items here to get to in terms of this Russia thing, which is what we've been... You know what? I don't want to talk about Russia anymore. I'm going to find something else, anything else, to talk about besides poutine. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. philhendryshow.com, live and mobile on TuneIn as well.
Everybody, Phil Hendry, the comedy farmer.
Comedy farmer.
Go, Henry.
Oh, I thought this was an interesting song.
Yeah. Anyway, welcome to the Phil Hendry Show. Farmer John, I'm in love with your daughter.
Well, Art Griego has something to say about it. He's online free, Phil.
Thank you very much, General. Yeah, we do have Art Griego on the phone. Everybody was talking about the comedy farmer. And it was Art Griego who called right after that because he wanted to give us a heads up on this song, Farmer John. When you talk about being a comedy farmer, and Art, you're a pilot, you know, but we've often had you on the show. You are a guy that you get around, man, and you know an awful lot about a lot of things.
Well, I try to stay abreast of things, Phil.
And what was it about the song Farmer, when everybody was talking about me being a comedy farmer?
Yeah, I was listening to Margaret as she was, hold on for a minute. Is that me? Is that our house? I am worried sick. I can't get out of here because we're repairing a couple of aircraft that came in here tonight, Phil, and I can't get over to the house. And I know that I left a couple of eggs boiling on the stove. And so when I hear sirens going by, I'm wondering if my home's burning to the ground. And it's an extremely disquieting feeling.
What about your wife?
Well, she's here with me, and we can't get out of here right now because we want to oversee these jobs. They're worth a lot of money.
Well, can't you get somebody over there to take a look?
No, everybody is pretty much tied up tonight. So what we're doing is just, we'll be out of here in another hour and a half or so. It's one of those things, you know, but every time I hear the sirens go by, I'm thinking our home is burning to the ground. It's very disquieting.
Well, hold on for a minute. That's impossible. That's just impossible. I can't allow you to tell me. You have to deal with that. I don't want you on the air with me if you have that going on.
Well, there's nothing I can do about it. Do you understand?
Well, I talked to Art about it. What is he supposed to do?
Are you telling me you left eggs burning on the stove?
Yeah, I was boiling hard-boiling some eggs because I enjoy hard-boiled eggs, and I was thinking about it because I listened to your show last night, and I heard Steve Bozell talking about the soft-boiled egg, and I remember thinking, what a pansy he is, and I turned to my wife, Melody. I said, you know me, I like them hard-boiled, and she said, you can say that again, because that's the kind of relationship we have, so I decided I'd hard-boil some eggs and have them waiting for me as soon as I got home. Right there in the cooler, waiting with the salt shaker and the whole everything set up perfectly. The only problem was I
forgot to turn the stove off.
Yeah, I forgot to turn it. In other words, I hadn't even gotten to the point of putting them in the refrigerator. They weren't even cooked yet. So I'm scared. I'm very scared, and I'm.
Well, if you're scared, then I don't want you on the air. You ought to go and do something about it.
Well, Patsy, find out where Melanie is, Pat, and see. I'm going to get my wife to see what she says, but I did hear the siren go by, and I think everything's okay. Didn't you tell me that you left some eggs on the stove once?
Yeah, I did, and I left them on there for about 6 hours. And when I came home, my entire apartment was full of smoke. The eggs had absolutely burned right up, and then the shell exploded or something, so there was bits of shell all over the kitchen floor. And it stunk to high heaven, man. If you burn an egg in a saucepan that you've been trying to hard boil, man, it is It's about as funky as it gets, you know.
Did it smell anything like this studio did when we walked in? You should have taken a whiff of this joint tonight, Art. It would have gagged. I swear to God, it would have gagged a buzzard on a crap wagon.
Well, that's rough, you know.
Oh, look at it. He's laughing now.
No, I'm not laughing. I'm feeling...
In any event, the song Farmer John, I'm in Love with Your Daughter was a song that was popular, a little bit older than you, Phil. The song was popular when I was in high school, and I had not enjoyed that song. And when people call you the comedy farmer, I want you to remember that there was a controversy when that song came out. You remember Louie Louie, they thought was dirty. Farmer John, I'm in Love with Your Daughter, by the premieres, got people considering the fact that a farm is a place where things are grown that you eat. And now here's a guy talking about getting this guy's daughter in a barn. And excuse me, is my wife over there? I am.
I can tell you're really consumed by this thought that your home is burning to the ground.
Well, I don't know. I don't want to say my home's burning to the ground, but I'm worried that I would not have even thought about it had General Shaw not opened his mouth and said something, you know. That, huh? Yeah. Had General Shaw not opened his mouth and said something. So that's the thing that is frightening me. And I would simply say that for General Shaw or anybody to...
Well, look, I'm not trying to make you nervous.
Well, every time I hear a siren, I just heard another siren.
All right, if you're too nervous, then I don't want you on the air. You got to get home, and you got to take care of whatever's happening there.
Well, I'll find out where my wife, Melanie, is right now, and then we'll take it from there. Oh, God. Oh, what's that? Somebody go find Melanie, okay? Where is she? Well, she's at the Chumash Casino right now.
So your wife's obviously not that concerned, okay?
I know that, but she's over. What's she doing? She's playing video poker at the Chumash Casino.
Well, then she's not concerned at all, man. And if your wife's not concerned, I wouldn't be if I were you either.
Well, she's supposed to be here, and we can't get away. And now she's over playing video poker? Is that what she's doing? Right? She's playing video poker at the Chumash. See, this is what I resent more than anything else. I'm sitting here working my ass off.
Well, what are you doing?
Well, I'm not working. I'm actually supervising them rebuilding this motor, but she was supposed to be with me. I'm calling you to warn you about this song Farmer John and being too closely identified with it. Meanwhile, my home is burning to the ground and my wife is playing video poker somewhere. This is what I call... See, this is how unfair it is. So all I want to know is where she is.
Look, there may not be anything happening. If your wife is playing video poker at the Chumash Casino...
She was supposed to be here helping me.
Well, I know your wife, Melanie. She's a responsible woman. Maybe she thought everything's under control, and she's over playing video poker, and she's not concerned. Why don't you try calling her?
Okay, that's a good point. She got her cell phone? Yeah, I'll call her up, Phil.
Okay. Do you want to call her now?
No, I'm on the air with you. I'll call her at the break.
All right. Obviously, you're not that concerned.
Well, if she's sitting on her ass... Sorry. But if she's sitting on her ass, okay, and she's burning daylight on my time playing video poker... Then I don't care if our home burns to the ground with every memento and photograph in it. That's how I feel about it.
No, you don't mean that. You don't mean that. It sounds like you're angry.
Well, yeah, I'm angry because I'm...
Let's just get back to Farmer Brown here or whatever.
No, his name's Farmer John. The song is Farmer John.
Okay. Now, what about the song Farmer John?
When I heard them talking to you about being the comedy farmer, I said to Melanie, do you remember Farmer Brown? She said, I knew a Farmer Brown, yeah. I said, I'm sorry, I met Farmer John. And that got us sidetracked because why do you know a Farmer Brown? What's that all about? And she had to go into a big, long dissertation about how don't worry about it, don't be jealous, because I'm still very jealous of my wife some 30 years after we've been married.
I think that's very sweet, so long as you're not driving her nuts with it.
Well, I hope not, but I said, do you know Farmer John? She said, Farmer Brown? I said, who's he?
Well, you shouldn't be grabbing a hold of stuff like that.
Yeah, women don't want to feel as if there's a microscope on them, Art. We know you love your wife, but if you're asking her about every little thing...
No, I don't do that. I'm not like some guys. Some guys are really insecure, and they make me sick. I don't want to be around them. I don't want to be around any panty waste. And even if the guy thinks he's real tough, any guy that keeps an eye on his wife morning, noon, and night like that, is a sissy and a panty waist and just drags the entire gender down. I'm not like that. I simply said to her, do you remember the song Farmer John? And she said, yeah, I knew a Farmer Brown. And I said, now we got to stop right there because I want to know what you know about this Farmer Brown.
All right, but you were talking to her about this song Farmer John.
That is correct, yes.
Because you were reminded of it when everybody was calling me the comedy farmer.
Well, we were talking about Phil being the comedy farmer, Art, because of... We thought it would be a good name for a show.
Yeah, we were talking about it being on Comedy Central.
Oh, no, I understand that. And that's what I thought of the song, Farmer John, I'm in Love with Your Daughter, because I wanted to warn you against that. The song, when it first came out, Phil, was a hit among teenagers, but there was a darkness to it. It was a great song, but in the end, it was shrouded in darkness and sadness. It was like the undoing. Excuse me. It was like the undoing of everything good. That's what horror truly is. And the song "Farmer John, I'm in Love with Your Daughter" started out as such a nice song, and yet you sensed that the good was being undone.
Good Lord, that is very
very very depressing.
No, it's depressing and it's frightening.
Good was being undone. So what was...
Well, the song is about a guy and a farmer's daughter, and he has her in the barn, and I don't think I have to be graphic. You know what's going on in there, and this is where they...
Yeah?
This is where they make food, and this is where they grow food.
Well, they don't make food there. What do you mean?
Well, I mean, they grow food... They stack the food. If you go and get corn, wheat, it goes into the barn, and that's where it is stacked.
Okay, and so he's in the barn. What? I don't understand.
You don't understand. I'm laying it out there as clear as I can. Yeah.
Well, wait. You're saying now that Farmer Brown, or not Farmer Brown, Farmer John, put the food in the same place where his daughter was giving away to some guy?
That's exactly my point, yeah.
Oh, you gotta be kidding. That's the most childish, asinine thing I've ever heard in my life. You know that?
Well, I mean, I'm just trying to warn Phil, for God's... Look, Margaret, my home is burning to the ground, and all I'm trying to do is tell you something's got nothing to do with me. You could care less. My home is cooked. I mean, there's not going to be anything left but maybe a 2x4, a little bit of the chimney. It's going to look like Hiroshima. And I'm on the phone telling Phil... to stay as far away from Farmer Brown as he can get.
Farmer John, right?
Farmer John, I'm sorry. Farmer Brown, I still got to work out with...
Hold on. We're taking a quick break here. Art Griego joins us on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Is his home burning down? Well, we don't know.
Well, why doesn't someone get on the phone with the fire department and send them over there?
I don't know what the damn address is. But here's the thing. I don't want to be a party to some false alarm, you know, where our emergency services are overburdened as it is. And if his wife is over playing video poker...
Yeah, he's at the two-match casino right now.
Well, then what the hell is he worried about? I left a boiled egg on the stove. We'll be right back on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. And we're online, of course, at TuneIn. Live and mobile and on our Listen Live line. Visit our online store for all kinds of Phil Hendry Show gear, products, collectibles, clothing, downloads, CDs, and everything to make your dreams come true. We'll be right back.
Well, that's not accurate.
Well, I'm saying it's accurate. Make your dreams come true. Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Art Griego joining us on our newsmaker line. They're talking about the song Farmer John and also whether or not there was a fire at his home this evening. Art, have you got that figured out?
I think we're all right now, Phil. I was just worried. I was hearing sirens everywhere. And now Melanie is back, and she won a couple of $100 at video poker.
So all's well that ends well, huh?
I don't know. I mean, have you called over there? Have you called the Murchisons? Did you call the merchants? We got our neighbors, our Tad and his wife, and she called them up and asked, is our house okay? And they were giving her a song and a dance. What do you mean by okay? Ha, ha, ha. Apparently there's some drinking. There's a party going on over there.
Well, you know what? That's probably all the better reason for you to be concerned. I'm not saying your neighbors are irresponsible. What did they tell you?
What did they say, honey? She said she couldn't get a straight answer out of them, and then the line went dead.
What is going on your street, man?
Look, Phil, these are my neighbors. You know, there's nothing for you to worry about.
Well, ever since I got you on the air, you're talking about how your home may be burning down. You're distracted. Your wife, where is she? Oh, she's playing video poker. You know, you wanted to tell me about Farmer John, and then you give me this story about Farmer Brown.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Hey, Melanie, honey, I'm telling Phil about this Farmer Brown. I'm telling my wife. I'm telling Phil about this Farmer Brown. Who is Farmer Brown? See, she's playing it real cute. Now, you know, I love my wife, I'm not saying anything, but, you know, I love my wife, but if she can't tell me with a straight face who Farmer Brown is, because when I say, who's Farmer Brown, she gets this smile on her face. Who's Farmer Brown? She did it again. She just smiled, see?
Well, who's Farmer Brown?
Mr. Andrew wants to know who Farmer... Why don't you go on the air with Phil?
Yeah, let me talk to her.
You go on the air with Phil? No, she didn't want to. She's scared. What are you scared of? Now she's laughing her ass. Look at her. She's falling on the ground, laughing her ass off. Now I'm going to find out who Farmer Brown is. What? She's vulgar.
What did she do?
She's pointing at her ass.
Oh, for God's sake. What kind of... You know, I know you love her, but...
Honey, that is vile as beef. She said, you want to know where Farmer Brown lives. God, you know what? You sicken me. I love you, but you sicken me. Yes, I'm jealous of you, and yet, no, I don't want other men putting their hands on you, but now you make me sick. And put that together with what they did in the barn with Farmer John.
Are you kidding me or something, man? You must be joking with me, right?
What do you mean?
What is this whole thing we've been doing here? I'm trying to figure out. You called me up to warn me about Farmer John. Farmer Brown, your wife knows, and then you find out this, that, and something else, and then she points at her ass, and now you're like, everybody's disgusted with her, and she was off. There's not one thing that is happening tonight with you that I understand.
Then why are you talking to me, Phil? I mean, this is my life. I called up to try to help you out. I called up to give you a heads up on Farmer John.
Do heads up on Farmer John.
Hey, Dickman, you know, when you start yelling at me, I'll take it from anybody, but not from you. Not from some guy that would have been the village idiot if this was 300 years ago and there were more pointed shoes available.
All right. Thank you very much.
When you do that, when you say, thank you very much, I know that the phone will be hung up and I'll be someone's, you know, I'm going to be the butt of someone's joke for weeks. And I'm telling you...
Hey, you know what? Don't blame me, Art. Don't blame me. You called. You said, let's give Phil the heads up on Farmer John.
Well, I mean, don't you feel at least warned there?
No, I don't. No, I don't. No, not at all. No. No. If I ever was going to do a comedy show called The Comedy Farmer, I am very, very confident that that title is not going to somehow engender in the minds of people... you know, people fornicating in a barn on top of what eventually becomes Wheaties.
All right, Phil, thanks a lot. Melanie's, she's got the truck warmed up, and she's still laughing and still pointing at her ass, so I'll...
Thank you very much, Art. Very happy to have cut you off and hung up on you.
Well, he means well, you know.
Oh, does he really? Does he really?
Well, I think that Phil did the right thing. That guy, he's got a screw loose. That guy's crackers. And I'll tell you something, he's dangerous.
Well, now, why do you say that?
I'm telling you, he's dangerous. He's got a wife that he's so jealous of, he was ready to commit homicide on some poor bastard named Farmer Brown, and then he found out Farmer Brown don't exist, except inside of a...
Yeah, except in his wife's... Well...
Don't say it.
So Farmer Brown don't exist. I don't know. I'm...
All right, well, thanks a lot. Thanks for nothing there, Art. On the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. All right, before we do anything else, I wanted to finish up this whole... What did she do? She called him Hitler. Which parts of us... What is this? Which parts of us are Neanderthals?
What are you talking about?
Oh, that was a different story. Potential Democratic U.S. presidential candidate Hillary Clinton on Wednesday tried to clarify comments. I don't think she should run for president. She won't win. I mean, I don't think she's the Democrat to do it, you know?
Why not?
I don't know. I think that the experience in 08, where she was the front runner for the longest time, and then Obama came along and just blew the doors off of everybody. I mean, that was an incredible campaign. I believe that she, I don't know, man. I think she'll look like a retread. Anyway, potential Democratic U.S. presidential candidate Hillary Clinton tried to clarify comments that left the impression she had compared Russian President Vladimir Putin to German dictator Adolf Hitler. Ms. Clinton, as President Barack Obama's Secretary of State in his first term, was a key player in the U.S. effort to reset relations with Russia, a policy that critics now say was a glaring failure. On Tuesday, Ms. Clinton had said Mr. Putin's incursion into Crimea of southern Ukraine was akin to moves Hitler made in the years before World War II. Mr. Putin justified sending forces to Crimea by saying he wanted to protect ethnic Russians. Well, you know, Hitler used that excuse, protecting ethnic Germans, which Ms. Clinton said was similar to Hitler's vow to protect ethnic Germans. So, you know, that's one of those things where you take it out of context, or if you even take it out of the historical context, it sounds like she's comparing the guy to Hitler. Maybe she is, but you know, in point of fact, that's not what he is.
What? Hello? I don't understand what you mean. He's not, that's what he is, but that ain't what he is.
Never mind, man.
Phil, don't get frustrated because you know more about this than other people.
I'm saying that even if she's comparing him to Hitler, which she shouldn't, because there is a lot more going on than just a guy wanting to protect ethnic whoever's, you, the viewer and the listener and the consumer of the news, you should not make that comparison because it's completely off base. Yeah, he wants to protect ethnic Russians, but Hitler's reasons for going in. Anyway, we have to take a break here, thank God.
Don't you want to read more about Hitler and Putin?
No, I don't. I really don't. I'm tired of the whole... I mean, you know, I may read up on it myself later on, but we've got other fish to fry, if you'll pardon the expression. World-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. We'll be back right after the top of the hour news break, and we've got more of the interesting developments of the day. What the hell's going on, bud?
Well, you got this other guy, a lady that drove the van into a river.
Yeah, some woman drove a... She drove a van with kids into an ocean. She's going to get mentally evaluated. That's a good thing. We'll be right back.